Last time I was here 2 weeks ago, I began to speak on the subject, the challenge for the last day's disciple, and I put a little thing underneath, will the real Latter-day Saints stand up? Because they're not the Mormons, it's the church of the real church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so, I began to talk to you after looking at some of these scriptures. Now, can we just clarify for everybody in the congregation and for me, where is this supposed to point?
That way.
Ah, see, I was right there. That's right. So anybody, that way. Well, it just worked. Is that because of Jonathan? Oh. Because I get this general feeling that everybody who sees me using this thinks I'm thick. But actually, I think this is definitely made in China. And so it should be that way, because that's how the Chinese would use it. And anyway, there you go. I won't go further with that one. But we looked at some scriptures last time, which Rachel read out to us. So I'm not going to go through them all today, except where they mention the last days or the last times. So the Spirit clearly says that in later times or last times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Now, before I go, I've got to be careful because, you see, I tend to go off on a slight tangent. All right? But I want to ask you all a question today. Why aren't you in the Catholic Church this morning? We came by this morning and we saw a few going in there. And I said to Mary, see, that's a good spiritual reason, isn't it? That's sort of the theology that I like, yeah. Wendy says, because we have coffee here. Hey, you laugh, but there may be some here this morning because our coffee's better. I know there's some churches in Norwich that get people because they serve Starbucks. I'm not joking. So why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you not in the Catholic Church? Why are you not with the Methodists? Why are you not with the Baptists? Why are you not? Okay, well, there's a lot of church history there, isn't there? But there's also, in some cases, not in all, there is some things that we had to leave certain things because they call themselves church, but they turned from the faith that was given to us by the apostles and by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I want to tell you, I only believe in a Trinity. I do not believe that Mary is God. Sorry if that offends anybody who is Roman Catholic here today. But some of the I don't believe that when we take communion, it actually physically becomes the real flesh and real blood of Jesus. Hebrews tells me that was offered once for all. It does not need to be seen in that light anymore. Yeah? So there are reasons, there are theological reasons why I'm not in the Catholic Church. Yeah? There's reasons why I'm not in the Mormon Church. Yeah? Because Joseph Smith decided to tell us that he had an experience where an angel called Moroni visited him and gave him a pair of special glasses from heaven. Not like these from Specsavers, I don't tell you that much. And these glasses meant that he could read these special stones with hieroglyphics on them. And there he would read messages from God to tell us that when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't go back to heaven, which the Bible says. That he went from the eastern part of the world to the United States. And so, that's why I'm not a Mormon. When I was younger, the idea of many wives seemed good. But then when I got married, I realized I was wrong on that one as well. But there are reasons why we believe and don't believe things. And we're living in an age today where the church has got so muddled up. We don't sometimes know what to talk about or not to talk about because we offend people. Last Sunday morning, some visitors came into Swaffham, and I'm so pleased to tell you, I didn't offend them. Right? But Andrew stood up in joy, like Daryl this morning, and said, isn't it wonderful to have Christ within us? These people got up and went out and spoke to the steward and said, we're Christians, but we don't believe that Christ's in us. In this region, not far from here, not far from where I live, we have now Methodist ministers and others who are leaders of churches and are practicing homosexuals. We even have, just a few weeks ago, a church, same, near in Swaffham, where a Seventh-day Adventist is preaching in a Baptist church. Apparently, they said to him, do you believe our statement of faith? And he said, yes. But nobody actually asked him, what's your statement of faith? Because I don't believe, is it Ellen White, who tells us that after Miller, who said on a certain date, please all climb mountains because Jesus is coming and we want to be the highest to meet him. And they all waited all night. And so the great hope for the Seventh-day Adventists is known historically as the great disappointment. You know, you could have told them that before they tried, couldn't you? But she comes along and said, ah, but he didn't get all of it wrong. Jesus actually moved from where he was into the heavens and then began to give a whole series of prophecies to the Seventh-day Adventist church. So they may believe in Jesus and they may have asked him into their lives, but theologically it is not the gospel, it is the gospel plus. And so church this morning, I want you to know what you believe. Is that right? I think, well, this is not Sunday morning stuff, Paul. I'm telling you it is. Because I meet many people and they say, oh, it's nice to be in your church this morning, whichever one I'm at. I said, oh, yeah. I said, so are you Christian? Well, I believe in God. No, I didn't say that. Are you a Christian? Well, I pray to God. Okay, which God? Because we need to make sure we understand what the gospel is. We need to understand when we're out there, because there are so many stuffs that's out there, deceiving spirits. I want to tell you, I have seen video footage where the Hindus go to a village and gather a few people and start laying hands on them. And they start shaking, rattling and rolling all over the floor. The Kundalini spirit. But alongside of that, I also saw a charismatic service where the guy at the front was laying hands on people and they were all shake, rattle and rolling and falling down. Which is the Holy Spirit and which is not? How do you know this morning that I haven't got vodka in here? You don't. Try it. Is that water?
A little bit of lemon.
You need to go see a doctor about your tongue. I'll tell you what, this is King's Lynn water and it's horrible. I've got an aftertaste with it. I don't like it. But there you go. But you see, friends, there are things that we need to know, Luke says, the things that are most surely believed among us. Otherwise, you don't know whether I'm a drunk or not. You don't know whether Daryl went home last night and told her he was going out to see somebody, but you're actually going to see another woman. It's happening all over the place, friends. Our society is absolutely corrupt in every way. How do you know your leaders are okay? How do you know this church is good? How do you know that Andy hasn't got this new Alan Wicker outfit? Some of you can't remember Alan Wicker. Just like some of the ladies couldn't remember who Bob Hope was when my wife spoke on Wednesday night. How do you know? The thing is, we have got to have some benchmarks. We have got to have some knowledge. Otherwise, we will be carried away with all kinds of winds of doctrine. Ones that's been before. John Phillips, my mentor, when he saw certain things in a meeting with me once night, he goes, well, goes around, comes around. Seen it all before. But let's stick to what the Word says. Let's stick to what the Word says. Now, that's just took up 10 minutes of my time. But what I wanted to do this morning is refer you back, you see, because that one. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. This know, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Terrible times. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why would you turn away from people in the world? I don't have a great deal to do with that kind of relationships with people in the world. I don't have any, really. So, the thing that Paul is warning Timothy about here is that the perilous times, maybe we could cope with them better if it was the world, but the troubles that are coming, the difficulties we faced, are not outside the church, they are in the church. They are in the church. And because of that, we have to say, wow, what marks us out as different from this, what I can only call, false church of the last days? You see, because all those lists down there, I have to say, if I'm honest, I do see them in the church. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Did you know in that very verse there's two of the Ten Commandments? If I was to drop on you right now, could you list off the Ten Commandments for me from Exodus 20 without having a Bible in your hand? And yet 1 John 2 tells us, we know the test that we belong to him is that we keep his commandments. Four of them are to God. Now here's my best disciple, so she ain't going to let me down. Tell me the Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make any idol. Remember the Sabbath day, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet.
Honour thy father and mother.
Honour thy father and mother.
I'll give you that, 9 out of 10 is pretty good. The issue is, if we don't know these things, how can we keep the commandments? Yeah? So lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Yeah? Broke the commandment. Honor your father and mother. Yeah? Disobedient to parents. Blasphemers. I'm sick of Christians saying God. oh God, what do you mean? You're talking about Elohim, Jehovah, the God who created all things. Don't put him on a par with other words. Say something else. Say blinking egg. Say anything. But thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord your God in vain. See, like, I'm sorry, friends, but I've said this in churches, and they go, he's a bit old-fashioned, isn't he? No, I'm biblical. Yeah? Remember the Sabbath. Don't work 7 days a week, because you'll wear yourself out, including pastors. She said amen. Yeah, you only work Sundays. So look, I want you to go through them because... There you go. But listen, friends. There are things happening in the church that I hear every week and I can't believe them. Thou shalt not lie. Do you get convicted ever because you tell lies? Thou shalt not commit adultery. We're living in a society that is absolutely Sodom and Gomorrah. I cannot believe what I see on my screen. If anybody here watches BBC Three, Channel 4 or 5, you need deliverance. I just watch the adverts and I feel dirty. We need to realize what we're in. So therefore, the society is looking for a church that is not copying them. You see, the problem's always been this. Where the church should be having an effect on the world, actually what we've found is that the world's having an effect on the church. And that is not the church that Jesus died for. It is not. And so, because of that, what we find is the modern trend is to make church have a threshold which is the lowest possible. Yeah? And I want to tell you something this morning. I do not believe in hyper-grace theology, which simply means doesn't matter what I do, it's already all been forgiven, so it doesn't matter how I live, I'm still going to heaven. Can I just tell you, if you believe that, you're going to hell? Because the grace of God teaches us to turn away from unrighteousness, to turn away from sin. Shall we continue in grace, Romans 6, verse 1, so that grace can abound? God forbid, Paul says. Eh? God forbid. 1 John 2 says, or is it 3? 3, I think. He says, he who has his seed within him, he who has got the seed of God, right? It's more or less an adult congregation here, so I can say that word seed in the Greek means spermatoza. It's the seed of a man. It's the seed of God, if you like. And when that comes in to us, the characteristics and the nature of our Father begin to develop in us. So what does it mean when John says, he who has that seed cannot sin? Does it mean he never sins? It doesn't mean that. We're all subject to failure. But it means that if I know it's wrong to commit adultery and I keep committing adultery, I am not saved, because no adulterer will enter the kingdom of heaven. Some of us here have been maybe saved out of all that immorality and stuff. Praise God, it's forgiven. It's cleansed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 about Corinth, which was the pits. We think it's bad today. It was pretty bad in Corinth too. He said, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are cleansed. You are sanctified. Amen? So you were that, but you're now this. See that? If we bring that into the church, Paul says we're part of that. And what does it say? Oh, this is so... having a form of godliness, but denying the power. So it's religion without relationship. Yeah? You go through all the things, and don't just blame the historic churches here doing that, because it can just be the same in charismatic. You may not be called a Roman Catholic church, you might be called the River of God, Hallelujah, Glory, Glory Church. But it doesn't matter what your title is, it is what you are as a people of God who meet there. Is that right? So therefore, what does Paul say? From such, turn away. Oh, but Paul, yeah, but look what's happening in the churches. We want to come together in unity. You cannot have unity without, Paul says, unity of the faith and unity of the Spirit. Are there other believers in other denominations? Of course there are. Because Jesus doesn't look down and see Baptists, Methodists, Anglicans, Congregationalists, Kingsland Christian Fellowships and whatever, Gateway churches. And he looks down and sees the people who are truly born again of his Spirit. That's why, 5 minutes on this one, blink at me in 5 minutes. That's why, brothers and sisters, I want to say to you this morning, if you are believers, our Lord Jesus Christ only understood two types of gathering. The first was when he was alive on this earth and he went to the Greek language, synagogue, the synagogue, yeah? The synagogue. And what the synagogue did was this. People from the community who were Jews, believers and not believers, met together on a Sunday. Right? Do you know what they did? They met with each other. They sang a few songs, psalms usually. They opened the scripture from the big rolls that they pulled out, scrolls, and they read it and they prayed. Not a lot has changed, really, has it? Because I don't know about you, when we meet together, we sing. Is that right? We gather together. Somebody pulls out the scroll. Except now it's on an iPad. We read scripture, expound it a bit, and then we pray. Can I tell you, Jesus never called his church synagogue. Ouch! Jesus called his church ecclesia. Ek meaning called, zia meaning out of. He took a Greek word that was used of communities where people were given special authority to make decisions and change the outlook of a community that might be going in a wrong direction. So you dealt with people who committed crime, yeah? Well, that is the meaning of... Jesus only used that word for his church. So in Matthew 16, verse 16, Peter is there and he said, who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood, that's a key there, didn't come from men. That revelation came from God. E.g., expansion by Paul Randerson. That means you have to have something happen from you to God. Mine eye, John Wesley put it, or Charles Wesley, mine eye, thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I rose the dungeon filled with light. You have to be born from above. You cannot be saved by putting a Bible on your head. There is no osmosis to get you saved. Jesus very clearly says to us that we have to understand what the ecclesia is. And I'm asking you this week, go home, look at every time the word church is mentioned in the New Testament. But Jesus says to Peter, upon this rock, not Peter the man, but upon the revelation that he was speaking, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's ultimately what will condemn men to hell or take them to heaven. Because John 16, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. Because I have come for one purpose, to rectify what happened to Adam and Eve. Read Genesis, the first chapter, 11 chapters of Genesis. If you don't read them, you won't understand what the Bible's about. But Jesus came to crush the serpent's head. Jesus came to defeat Satan. He came to deal with sin. He came to do what the first Adam couldn't do, but he as the last Adam came. Right? So the Holy Spirit convinces us of sin because we believe not on him. Then it says, and he convinces us of righteousness because I go to the Father. You cannot go to the Father and be raised from the dead unless you are sinless. He is the only sinless one that's ever lived. Adam, but not for long. The Holy Spirit will not only convict of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to the Father. The Father has accepted alone for all humanity, for all time, what I have done for anybody who believes in me. That I died for Dennis's sins. I died for Paul Randerson's sins. I died for Rachel Osborne's sins. Because the issue as far as Jesus is concerned is not coming to church and having a nice, funny, fuzzy feeling. It is whether your sins have been forgiven. And they can only be forgiven if you have wholly and completely trusted in Christ alone to do that. Of sin and of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, he says, same verse, because the prince of this world is judged. I have done what Satan tried to do in Genesis. I have done what my Father sent me to do. I have defeated him. I have defeated death. I have crushed his head. So before he went to the cross, he said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. I couldn't say that, neither could you. But he could say it. So my friends, this morning, this ecclesia is not these people, which we talked about, if you remember, when we looked in Matthew 24 as well. Can you remember that? This is the passage about the last days. Lawlessness, wickedness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. If you don't love Jesus, you don't love him. So you've got to have loved him for it to grow cold. Is that right? Somebody say amen, Paul. But it then says, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Let me wind up this morning by saying this. I know that this church, its leadership, my ministry, Daryl, and anybody else's that preaches here, believes we are part of that church that will not grow cold. If you do, I don't want to be here. But it might mean we have to endure. Because we're living in a society that doesn't like what we believe anymore. In fact, worldwide, Christians are the most persecuted people. Our Indian friends will know this morning what's happening under Modi at the moment. The Hindutva. Let's get rid of all the 40 million Christians. Eh? Let's try to make them all back to Hindustan. Hindustan. Not calling ourselves India, but Hindustan. So weekly, Basil and others tell us about all that's going off to persecute the church. In all the Islamic countries, it's, oh, but hang on a minute, Paul, you said about this before. Well, I'm mentioning that today because just this last week, Gio contacted me and said, remember so-and-so? Yeah, he's just been shot by the Turkish armed forces, helping a family in northern Syria. Wonderful guy. What's going to happen if you have to stand up for what you believe? Because it's coming. If you don't get Christian Concern magazine or email, you need to get it and read it every week. There are things going on in our society now where the laws are being tightened up against free speech, against preaching on the streets, against what you believe about sexuality, against what you believe about your children can be taught. A whole heap of things about abortion and everything else. If you don't make your mind up, you will actually, by your silence, allow that other church to come in. Because we now have bishops and we have archbishops who agree to these things. Some of these things which the Bible clearly says are wrong. And I'm sorry, but the rest of my life I've made my mind up, I'm going to call a spade a spade. So the people that got up and walked out at Swaffham last week because Andrew said Christ was in him, he said, what shall I do? I said, nothing. Because we're about Jesus. Yeah? We're about the gospel. So, I have got fat. I did that well, didn't I? So Jesus tells us what the ecclesia is. Now listen to this. This is good. When Jesus said that, he said, blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, yeah, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, many of the gypsy people, they go to Israel. They like going to Israel. Brazilians are the same. I don't know how many English people go, but I know the gypsies love to go, and the Brazilians love to go to Israel. Maybe I'll get there sometime. Maybe somebody will bless me and send me to Israel. That's not an advert, by the way. Unless God touches your heart. But listen, when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, the reason he asked the question was because there's a site there with every other god mentioned. Right? Who do men say I am? Get the picture? So he's relating it to where he was. But then he did something more. Because at the bottom of Mount Hermon is a massive cave. You can see it here today. And that cave was known by all groupings who came there as the Gate of Hades. It was for the god Pan, the goat god, half man, half goat. And people went down there to worship the underworld, to worship evil spirits, to commit total horrible acts of indecency with goats. And Jesus says, my ecclesia, this which they're saying is the gates of Hades, I call my church not to be synagogue, but to be ecclesia, but to go and demolish the gates of Hades. Go and let Satan know that I'm going to win the victory over him. Go and let the gates of Hades know that my blood can wash men from sin. Go and let Hades know that every demon in hell will be shivering because death has no longer any power. So they don't have to, as it says in Hebrews, be fearful all their lives about dying. What's going to happen? I'm scared to die. Because I will rise from the dead and give you a complete assurance when you are born again through believing on me. Wow. That's why I believe the gospel. Because nobody else in all of humanity has done that. That's why I don't want to be part of the synagogue. I want to be part of the ecclesia. Because that church will endure. That church will go with the gospel of the kingdom. Yeah? It will tell people that unless you repent, you will perish. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I tell you, listen, I believe, you can argue with me if you're a doctor or somebody, but I believe many of the problems with psychology and difficulties that are happening in our society today, their root is because people are actually not willing to own up and be responsible for their own sinfulness. Yeah? That's why they didn't like Jesus, because he said, if I hadn't come, you'd had a cloak for your sin. But now I've come, I've told you you're sinners. And there's no cloak anymore for your sin. See, friends, if we own up to the fact that actually many people who I've counseled in the past, when I counsel them, I get this sense of it's always somebody else's fault. Actually, I need to own up to my own sinfulness. Yeah? When I do that, I see that I need a Savior. I see why Jesus died. I see why I need to put my trust in Him. And the marvelous thing is, God's just waiting with this message that it's just too good to be true. The gospel is too good to be true. Surely to the ordinary man. I come as a sinner, and God, you have died for me, and you've took all my sins away, and you changed my destiny from hell to heaven when I believe what Jesus did for me. That's the gospel. Nothing added to it. I don't need no other prophets. I don't need anybody else to say anything else that's happening and when he's coming back in 1994 and never did and all that kind of stuff. What I need is to believe that I am justified. I am placed in a position before God that only God can actually acquit me of my sins and declare me not guilty and say, from now on, Paul, your destiny is heaven, not hell. Wow. It's too good to be true. The thing is, it's true. So whatever reason this morning, make sure. See, it's only 4:15. I could pinch 5 minutes. No, I told Daniel I wouldn't. But then again, he did last week. See, Romans 1:17, it says this. Let me read it to you because I want you to get it. Romans 1:17. Quick, if you ain't got your Bible, listen to me. Listen to me. For I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean, from faith to faith? Two types of faith? No. One faith is my faith. But you know what? There's another faith there. Do you know whose faith it was? It was the faith of the Son of God. He believed that he walked this planet and never sinned. He believed that he could die for your sins. He perfectly believed that the Father would raise him from the dead. Yeah? He perfectly believed that he could open heaven's door to everyone who believed what he'd done for them. So on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. It is finished. I've done it. So listen, I don't trust my faith because you know what? My faith can go up and down. But his faith in what he did will hold me from this day into eternity. And the moment I believe it, I receive eternal life. Have you received eternal life? Or are you a churchgoer? Because if you're a churchgoer, you're going to end up with that first lot. Your love's going to grow cold. And it's happening all over the place. Where were you last Sunday? I went playing golf. Where were you last Sunday? I went to this. Oh, I went to a birthday party. You do loads of things on the day that the Bible says we should honor God. Yeah? It's all them little signs. You know what I mean? When you talk to people and say, How's your prayer life? Why? Because to talk with God is the most fantastic thing you can do. That the God of all creation and of all eternity listens to Paul Anderson, you're having a laugh. But he does. But he does. That's because there was a day in my life when I believed that Jesus did it for me. Don't trust anything else. Don't trust a fuzzy feeling down your back. Don't think because you've fallen on the floor and had a laugh that you're saved. You're saved by believing in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. When that happens, if you truly from your heart of hearts believe that, the Bible says you're born again. The Spirit of God will work. So I just want to let everybody know this morning that to be in that church that's going to endure and in that church that's going to take the gospel, you've got to got the message working in your own life first. Yeah? Not having a form of godliness. Let's just talk about the love of God. Yes, that's biblical. But let's also talk about the love of God and the truth of God. Because they are not opposites. God loves you so much, He's done everything He can to save you. But if you don't want it, the truth is, you will be judged. And this is the gospel, friends. It's not going to be palatable because people want to make church easier and easier. Yeah? I read of a church not too far from here now that lets their churches use for yoga classes. Do they not understand Eastern mysticism? That uses their church for Muslims to actually come and pray with them. Allah is not God. Jehovah is God. So, praise God. I know, Paul says, whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. Paul says, I was the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. If it was down to me trying to keep the law, I couldn't do it. But thank God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm up and down a bit, but He's perfect. I trust in Him. Don't just give people the love message. John Wesley used to say, only when I see people are convicted of their sin do I then tell them about the grace of God. When do you last get convicted about sin? When do you last repent? I shouldn't have watched that, Lord. Yeah. When do you last end up in a massive big blaspheming? We need to repent, brothers and sisters. If we are Christians, we need to realize that God is transforming us to be like Christ. If He is not doing that, let's call a spade a spade. Can anybody say amen to that? Let's pray. Before I go any further in praying, I'm always aware this morning, you might have never trusted in Jesus, but all He did was for you. For your sins to be forgiven. Every sin you've ever committed, He took on Himself at the cross. And when you believe that, your sins are forgiven. You are born again. So if you've never done that, I'd love to pray for you right now. So put your hand up if that's you. I want to know today that I am saved, Paul. So I trust in Christ alone. Is there anybody? Everybody is saying to me here this morning, they are absolutely certain they are born again of God's Spirit. If you die today, you are going to heaven. You know it without a shadow of a doubt. Don't resist God if He's speaking to you. The chance might never come again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.